This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Jack from Bombay Bicycle Club, and you're listening to Kiss My Arts on Joy 94.9.
You are indeed on the Kiss My Arts show with Amy on Joy 94.9. The time is, it's nearly 2 minutes past the hour of nine on your lovely Monday evening. The two worlds of new classical music and alternative indie rock rarely collide. They seem poles apart in style, in culture, and in their fan base. But these two seemingly opposite musical worlds are more alike than you might think. Both experiment and push the boundaries of sound, form, and instrumentation. Both are what we could call the bad boys of their industry. So why don't these two musical worlds collide on our stages and in our concert venues? Maybe we're just scared we'll be musically challenged. Maybe we just like to keep things in their defined little musical boxes. Who knows? But we don't have to sit wondering any longer, because in a rare and unique collaboration between Melbourne's finest classical musicians and Melbourne's finest indie art rock band, you'll find there's more in common with these two musical worlds than first meets the eye. One extraordinary night at the Thornbury Theatre will open with Melbourne's leading progressive rock outfit, A Lonely Crowd, followed by the innovative Silo String Quartet. The Arco Symphonic Ensemble, known for its repertoire of fresh contemporary classical music and its high energy and technical precision, will join indie art rock band Glasfrosch to be the lush orchestral accompaniment to a unique set of their rock songs. On tonight's show, we have the conductor and artistic director of the Arco Symphonic Ensemble, as well as multi-instrumentalist and the founder of art rock band Glasfrosch, Justin Ashworth, joining us to tell us all about their separate musical worlds and why they decided to join forces in this new and exciting collaborative concert. So get excited, because you're about to be thrown into a whole new sonic world that will leave you feeling super smart and musically enlightened. If you haven't already wound down from your Monday-itis, now's the time to kick back, relax, fill up that glass, and enjoy an hour of the latest in new music. So let's get your musical minds ticking with a track from Glasfrosch's new album. This one's called Spider Words. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You've been listening to the sounds of Melbourne band Glasfrosch with their track Spider Words. On tonight's show, we have the conductor, founder, and artistic director of the Arco Symphonic Ensemble, as well as multi-instrumentalist and founder of art rock band Glasfrosch, Justin Ashworth, joining us to tell us why these two contrasting musical genres decided to join forces in a new and exciting collaborative concert. Tim, Justin, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks, Amy.
We also have Karen here, who is the mastermind of Anon Islet Records, joining us too, who represent Glasfrosch. So welcome to the show too, Karen. You have been on
Thank
the show
you.
Before in a
yes.
different wearing a different hat, but
yes.
Tonight you're here to represent your record label. First up, let's hear a little bit about what Glasfrosch does, and then we'll flip the musical coin to hear about what Arco does, and then we'll discover how these two contrasting worlds have melded into one another and joined forces for a fantastic collaborative event. So, Justin, you're the founder and multi-instrumentalist of the band Glasfrosch. Tell us a little bit about how Glasfrosch came to be.
Well, that's a nice long story. I guess it started 5-6 years ago when I started putting a band together to play music I was writing, and it went sort of from there. just kind of evolved out of this experimentation into being a band. And after a long process of dealing with different players and kind of experimenting with different sounds, writing different music, we kind of became a unit with the current lineup that we have, and it's sort of grown into its own beast from that, its own, you know, little animal, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you're, as we just mentioned, you're a multi-instrumentalist, and I've got a list of at least 10 instruments that you play, and you also program and produce music as well. There are two other members of Glasfrosh that that contribute and perform. Tell us a little bit about all of your individual roles and how that comes together in your musical process.
Sure. Well, there's Adam Rudiger. He's our piano and keyboard player. I've been working with Adam in a bunch of different sort of situations, I guess, for 10, 11 years. God, I met him in like 99. It's been forever. It's awesome. and he's a really great jazz pianist and brings a lot of that flavor to the music, and which is great because I've always loved jazz a lot, but never had the discipline to kind of sort of devote myself to it, I guess. So he gets to sort of inject that into the music without it sort of being forced into the music, which is great. And then James Wingard is our drummer, and he's just young and fiery and just brings just real energy to the band. And sort of the new material we've been writing with him on the kit has just sort of like raced ahead. It's quite more energetic and rocky and fun. And sort of our older material is sort of a lot more introspective by comparison. When we play older material with James, it's just got more life to it, which I love. And then I just do like guitar and vocals, and I sort of program a lot of synths and mess with sound. Messing with sound is kind of what I love to do the most.
Because it's different to really put a genre box around what Glasfrosh does or what your sound is. You've obviously got influences far and wide, from rock to experimental to all kinds of things. What would you say would be your main musical influences?
Oh, that's... I mean, it's always changing, and I think the main sort of influence is just sort of...
You mentioned that you had jazz, you were sort of inspired by jazz, and you can definitely hear that in some of your tracks. For example, you've got Lip Gloss, which has got all kinds of like jazzy elements in it as well, but then you've also got quite a sort of, for lack of a better word, sort of a new contemporary... classical influence in there as well. You've got stringed instruments, you've got some rock elements, there's all kinds of things sort of mushed in together, which is makes it very difficult to put a label. Karen, how would you label this if you were, you know, you're the label coordinator? Drifting off to sleep.
I've had a big day. To label Glasfrosh's music and to try to define it?
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah.
it's extremely eclectic, but you know everyone says that, but I actually mean it for a change. It does it does incorporate a lot of jazz elements, but you can hear electronica in there, you can hear, you know, contemporary, as you said, contemporary classical in a big way. I think what attracts me personally to Glasfrosh's music is the different timbres that are always infiltrating each track. So, you know, Justin has no qualms about bringing a typewriter in as part of the instrumentation. And what is that thing you have, the waterphone?
Yeah, waterphone.
Yeah, that's actually what it's called. Yeah. I can't even describe it, but it's
a big piece of metal with little prongs coming off it, and you fill it with water and bow it, and it sounds like whales dying. Or
like, being happy. Yeah.
The way I play it, they sound like they're dying.
I can't wait to hear more about Glasfrosh, but we'll take a quick break, and we're going to come back and hear all about Timothy Phillips and his ensemble, the Arco Symphonic Ensemble. Stay tuned. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're on the Kiss My Arts show with Amy on Joy 94.9. The time is 16 minutes past nine on your lovely, cosy Monday evening. We have a very special show tonight because tonight on the show we join two worlds together. And before the break, we heard a little bit from Justin from Glassfrosh, but we also have Timothy Phillips here, who is the conductor, founder, and artistic director of the Arco Symphonic Ensemble. Timothy, welcome to the show. It's
great
to have you here.
Thank you very much, Amy. Great to be here.
That's a very long, impressive title, but tell us a little bit about what ARCO is and how it came to be.
Well, ARCO is a new music orchestra, is how I like to describe and it was set up over 6 years ago with the aim of promoting and performing new Australian classical music. And we were discussing before the show that new is an interesting term in this context because some of the pieces we're doing, they're being performed again, but for the first time in like 50 or 60 years, which actually shouldn't be new. And how did the ensemble come to being? So I spent most of the 90s living and working in Germany, and as I was contemplating a return to Australia and also wondering what I might do once I did return, I just kind of identified this niche in the Australian musical landscape. The orchestras had been divested from the ABC, so they weren't really fulfilling their role in playing the large symphonic stuff, particularly of, you know, Australian or anyone for that matter, of this in the last century. And so that's what the ARCO has as its kind of primary aim, the promotion and presentation of music of this in the last century with an emphasis very much on Australian repertoire.
So what's the most challenging thing about running an ensemble like ARCO?
The most challenging thing is money, is getting enough money to be able to put projects on. That's also the most exhausting thing. For all its good things, Australia's not really set up to run independent arts companies that are, you know, kind of still small. And on a practical level, it's finding enough of the players who either have the vocabulary to perform this music or the willingness to kind of learn the techniques and skills, because a lot of time needs to be invested in this stuff for it to be done well.
Because the music that you perform is incredibly difficult a lot of the time, so you need top-notch players that are well and truly technically trained and proficient in their instruments, and I mean that must be very difficult to find a group of people who are available and willing to do that.
It's not difficult to find people who are very proficient on their instrument. It's difficult to find people who are proficient on their instrument and who are prepared to give this difficult, challenging music the time that it needs to be done properly.
Do you have a core ensemble, or is it sort of rotating players depending on the project?
No, there's a very clear, well, in my mind anyway, there's a very clear core of string, wind, brass and percussion players. And each project is a slightly different program, so that core is either sometimes it's just the core of, you know, like 8 to 12 players, and often that core is expanded. You know, last year we were as many as 26 players, and we have been as large as over 30 players, and so that's enhancing the core with suitable players. And that's kind of the long-term goal, is to be able to perform as a kind of a large chamber orchestra.
Speaking of long-term goals, you're the artistic director and conductor and founder of this ensemble. What are your plans and goals for ARCO in the near future, say for 2013?
So we have a four-concert series planned for this year, the first one being the concert that we're about to discuss in greater detail later on the show. Then another one in June, which is a chamber ensemble concert, and then two chamber orchestra concerts in October and November.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. The name ARCO itself, you would expect it to be spelt A-R-C-O, but it's actually has a K in there as well. I believe there is some significance in the name. There's a story behind it. Can you enlighten us?
Yeah, the story is, so A-R-C-O is ARCO, as in to play a stringed instrument with a bow, and A-R-K is Ark, as in Noah. So it's this idea that we create this orchestra and we discover and perform and breathe new life into these works that then get carried into the future in the way that Noah did with the animals. Mm-hmm. But there's a further meaning now, and it's just creating this big arc between our wonderful heritage composers, Australian heritage composers, and making this arc to the present day composers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're about to have a listen to Veils by Lisa Lim. Can you tell us a little bit about this piece and your thoughts on it and your involvement in it?
Well, this is one of the things we try to do is play music more than once. Not only stuff that's been forgotten for 40 years, but that we try to do it several times. So this was like the third time that I've done the work, this Lisa Lim work. And Veils, it's, if you can just imagine a whole bunch of veils kind of masking the musicians and something, and the sounds merge from this as the veil is either peeled away or covered back over. It's beautifully lush. She uses lots of extended techniques to create this amazing kind of layer.
There might even be some water phones in there.
There's no water phones, but there are Bode vibraphones.
Bode vibraphones. So this is actually a quite lengthy piece. Yeah. So we've had to just chop it down a little bit for the show today. So this is really just scratching the surface on Lisa Lim and this piece. But let's have a listen to a little snippet of Veils by Lisa Lim. Stay tuned, because we've got more coming up after we check this out.
Joy 94.9.
Hello, it's Jens Jessen on Kiss My Arts Show. On Joy 94.9.
I always laugh when I hear Jan Tiersen do that tag. He was so funny. But yes, you are indeed on the Kiss My Art Show on Joy 94.9. The time is 28 minutes to the hour of 10 on your Monday evening. If you like what we're talking about tonight on the show and you want to get involved and have your say, text in on 0427 Joy 949. That's 0427 569 949. Or if you've run out of credit, that's okay. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. We were just listening to a beautiful, incredibly beautiful track called Requiem by Glasfrosh, and we have the man who created that track sitting right here with us to tell us all about it. Justin, tell us a bit about Requiem.
Requiem's a sad song, man.
It's very Mozart of you to write a Requiem.
It's dedicated to some really, like, dear friends who passed away, and I was lost for words whilst feeling so much emotion and just really needed to write a song about it, and so I grabbed this book off the shelf to kind of find like a starting point to kind of get out of my sort of wallow and sort of proactive about what I was writing. And the book is Japanese death poems. It's a whole bunch of haiku written by Zen monks and haiku poets on their deathbeds. And so I just flipped through it, and I found three in particular that were just so perfect. I had no like reason to like rip it off other than to just use it as it was, and you know, rather than sort of change it around a bit and kind of fake it, I just like credited the authors and just used these poems because they said it better than I ever could, and the music just kind of, I didn't want to overplay it, you know. It's sort of like my little dedication to these friends of ours. So,
thank you. It's an absolutely beautiful song, and I and this is kind of leading on to this collaborative project that we've been kind of hinting at so far. We've heard a little bit about Glasfrosh and the Arco Symphonic Ensemble independently, but you guys have decided to join forces in a one night only event at Thornbury Theatre in a couple of weeks, where your music will become one, essentially. Karen, maybe you want to tell us a little bit about how this concert came to be, because the song we just heard, Requiem, is going to be there on the night, and there's some arrangements. Tell us a little bit about how it all happened.
Okay, well, first of all, with bringing together Glasfrosh being part of Non Islet Records along with Arco Symphonic Ensemble, that was really Tim's idea to bring in a band and just do something different with the ensemble, I guess to diversify. I mean, it's already a very diverse classical group, but to go even further,
And I guess after listening to what was on my label, they're all amazing acts, but just I guess with the sheer instrumentation of Glassfrush's music and I felt like this is probably going to orchestrate itself. So
the first thing I thought on listening to your music for the first time was just how orchestrated it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter what instrument it was, but it was so. You could see how that could be transformed to a more orchestral palette.
You can basically hear it there already. Sorry, Justin.
Oh, I was just going to say, there was a really conscious effort in making that record to just be as colourful as possible, you know, and to sort of steer away from, like, darkness. And I was really getting into a lot of visual art at the time and just digesting as much colour as I could. I mean, it was a bunch of stuff that I stuck up on my wall that was like, I want this to sound like this, you know. And
not unlike the Lisa Lim in a way. I mean, her music is so colourful as well, with all these sort of contrapuntal lines in texture, and it's not dissimilar to Glassfrosh's music in its colours. So you can see how these two worlds, seemingly quite disparate, might actually come together. So Timothy, tell us a little bit about how Arco has approached this and how Arco got involved.
Perhaps important to say is that Karen is kind of the linchpin, in that she is a member of Arco and has been since its beginning, and she is also the manager of this record label, who has quite a few bands under its wing. Mm-hmm. So we've approached it from the point of view, you know, as a friend and colleague of Karen's, I've taken an interest in her musical life outside of Arco. So I've seen a lot of her bands as well as her playing. And we've just talked about the similarities between the music. And so I just thought these people who come to our concerts and like our music, and the people who go to a Glassfrosh concert and like their music, probably a fair few of them would like each other's music, except they're just not going to think about going, you know. Mm. Glassfrosh fans probably wouldn't have Arco on their radar, and vice versa. So this was an opportunity of not only bringing the musical worlds together, but bringing the audience worlds together.
Have you, either of you, ever done anything like this on this scale before?
Not on this scale.
Yeah, definitely not on this scale.
So this is new ground for everybody. What's been the most challenging thing about this project so far, Timothy?
So far, nothing's been really challenging for me.
It's too easy. See, he's
No. I don't mean to sound flippant. Because everyone has played their part in pulling their, you know. So I've created the Arco ensemble that will accompany Glassfrosh. Glassfrosh have obviously been playing their part in, you know, learning and relearning the songs, and Karen's been kind of like the overlord. we had a possible campaign running that was very successful, and it all comes together next week. We have a rehearsal period for a lot of next week, and that's where it may, but hopefully won't, become difficult.
Have you had any challenges in the process?
I think I've personally had a lot of kind of internal challenges with this project, just because, you know, like, we're pretty, like, I feel like we're still, like, really emerging on sort of, like, the scene, and I kind of see Glassfrosh as sort of not being, like, a band in the sort of band scene kind of way, and sort of trying to exist in that world is kind of difficult for me. And so this is sort of a massive opportunity sort of almost fallen in our laps, and we're just riding this wave. If we didn't have, like, Karen helping out, doing these amazing arrangements with the music and kind of being this voice of positivity, you know, I don't think personally I could handle the responsibility of a show like this. So in a sense, for me, the challenge is just to not give up, you know. And I mean, we've got our shtick down, like, as a band. I'm really proud to be able to sort of just know that we can pull off our stuff. And I have absolute faith in Karen and Tim and the rest of the Arco performers. So I'm sure it's going to just be magic. Plus, we've got some surprise kind of visuals for the night, and we're kind of going all out production-wise there too. So,
and you've got a couple of other ensembles and bands playing as well. Yes. Do you want to tell us a bit about that, Karen?
Yes, we have the amazing Silo String Quartet. And is that led by Carwin?
It is, most definitely. Yeah. Yep.
And you know, they've played at Carnegie Hall, and they've done the rounds around Australia as well. And they're just amazing. So they're going to be opening the night, and then another non-Islet Records band will be performing called A Lonely Crowd, who are genius prog rock musicians. They're exceptional. The lead singer, Zen Pao, is she has a voice to die for. She's incredible. And they'll be doing an acoustic set, which is something they've never done before. So
it's new ground for everybody.
Pretty much.
We're about to take a listen to another song, piece, track. This one is a homage to Garcia Lorca by Richard Mille. Tim, do you want to tell us a bit about this one?
Richard Mille is one of these Australian heritage composers that I referred to earlier, no longer with us. And in the late 50s, early 60s, he became quite obsessed with Spain, spent some time there, and more specifically with the writings of Garcia Lorca. And so this is a work of his from 1961 for double string orchestra.
It's very lush.
It's very lush, yeah.
And where was this one
recorded? This was in our November concert last year at BMW Edge.
Fantastic. So we're going to take a listen to that right after this.
Joy 94.9.
Is that the most epic end of a piece or what?
Absolutely.
That was a massively lush piece by Richard Mille called Homage to Garcia Lorca, which was just a snippet of a much longer extended piece. It's a huge, huge piece, and that was performed by our lovely Arco Symphonic Ensemble, led, of course, by Timothy Phillips. And we have Tim here, and we've got Justin from Glassfrost. I've said it right the whole night, yeah. And the very last time.
Sorry, Glassfrost. Half the time I can't say it right.
Well, we better spell it for people, because we want people to head along to your website to check out more about your music and to find out more about the concert. So you've got a website, just glassfrosh.com. Do you want to spell it for us?
Yeah, it's GLASFROSCH.
Brilliant. Glassfrosh.com. And there's also a website for the Arco Ensemble.
Yes, and Arco being spelt ARCKO, Symphonic Project, oneword.org.au.
Fantastic. And Karen, you're a non-Islet Records,
yes,
has a website?
Right. Yep, it's just anonislet.com, which is A-N-O-N-I-S-L-E-T Records, or Google it or something.
So we've got this concert coming up very soon. Do you want to tell us the details of the concert and how our listeners can get tickets?
Please. Yeah. Yes, please come. It's Saturday, April the 6th, and it's at the Thornbury Theatre. And you can go...
At 8 o'clock.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it starts at 8, doors from 7:30, and we start at 8 sharp. It's not one of those rock gigs.
Not for you.
Oh, well, we'll see. Classical times, but rockin' music.
Vibes.
Yeah, yeah, that's better.
Oh, hey, God. You should market it like that. That is awesome. So it's at the Thornbury Theatre.
That's right.
You can have a look at their website too, thethornburytheatre.com, and I think there's links there and everything that can take you through where to buy the tickets.
Yeah.
8 o'clock. Is that all we need to know?
We are going to be filming a documentary of the event on that night. So if you come along...
Be part of history.
Yeah, exactly. Be part of something big. Yeah.
It's a big night of music. So you get four sets. It's classical vibes with a rock kind of setup. So there are four sets. It's conceived as, you know, if you go to a pub gig, you'll have this band does this. Da-da-da-da. So it's like that. So Silo from 8 to 8:30, and then A Lonely Crowd till about 9, and then Arco does a little set on its own till about 9:30, and then the big culmination of the evening with Glassfrosh.
And it's a one-night only event, isn't it? It's one night. If you miss it,
Yeah.
Tough.
You miss it by the documentary.
By the documentary.
Oh, yeah, just do that. No, yeah. No, come, do that.
Yeah.
So just to reconfirm, we've got glassfrosh.com. Google it. If you can't remember how to spell it, you'll find it. And we've got arcosymphonicproject.org.au and anonislet.records.com. A massive thanks to Julian from Glassfrosh. Justin. I was doing so well, and all of a sudden it's the end of the show. Julian, where did Julian come from?
I get that all the time, show. Man. You've got like Kiss My Arts fatigue or something.
Kiss My Arts fatigue. It is the last Kiss My Arts show, but we'll get to that in a second. Thank you so much, Justin and Timothy from the Arco Symphonic Ensemble for joining us on the show tonight. And also thanks to Karen for coming along as well and enlightening us about your record label and giving us a little bit more in-depth info on the concerts. Fantastic. Remember, if you're keen to see their two musical worlds collide live in concert for one night only, head to thethornburytheatre.com. You can book your tickets there. This will be the last Kiss My Art show for a little while. After five straight seasons, we are due for a scheduled break, and a very, very new show will be taking our spot from next week. From 9 on Monday evenings, you can now tune in to The Locker Room, a show all about the world of sport. A rather interesting transition from an arts show to a sports show on your Monday evening.
Wow.
But as we've discovered tonight, sometimes two opposing worlds can come together in the most unusual ways. In 2012, Kiss My Arts interviewed, featured and reviewed over 100 artists and bands, over half of which were independent Australian artists. Kiss My Arts has broadcast over 70 live-to-air studio performances of often new and unreleased songs by independent bands and artists. We've interviewed the likes of British India, Bombay Bicycle Club, The Presets, Julia Stone, Ben Gillies from Silverchair, Butterfly Boucher, Hermitude, Geordie Lane, Sasquatch, Alpine, Jack Carty, Polo Club, JD Sampson, Georgia Fair, just to name a few, and of course Glassfrosh and the Arco Symphonic Ensemble. We've even interviewed Jan Tiersen. Yep, that's the guy who wrote the music for Amelie, which I believe is one of your inspirations. I read that on your MySpace or something.
Hey, yeah, I love that movie. I love that music.
Yeah.
I saw him live. He's amazing.
Did you see him in his concert? Was it last year when he came to Melbourne?
I saw him at the Corner Hotel several years ago. It was rock.
Wow.
It was nothing like
Amelie, absolutely.
He had two toy pianos with contact mics on them, and it was when he did the Amelie music, and it was, and a rock band backing it. It was huge.
His music is extremely experimental. That Amelie stuff was kind of, yeah, like one of only many things that he does. So, yeah, he was great to interview. So it's been an amazing journey, and I know that I've learned so much in the process. But I'm going to enjoy my break, but we'll be back soon to bring you more of the latest in new music. Stay tuned, because coming up next, we have the boys from the Cubby House taking you through to 11. But before I leave you, I'm going to play another Glassfrosh track. This one's called Lip Gloss. Justin, tell us a little bit about this one.
Oh, wow. Lip Gloss was a song I wrote, well, a tune I wrote a long time ago when I was first started playing jazz with Adam. And we stopped playing jazz. That band stopped playing together, and I always wanted to rework it into something else. So we revived it. We got Ben McKinnon from Mr. Bungle and Umlaut to play the saxophones on it, and kind of just messed with the form a bit and turned it into something else. It's got Nat Grant doing a whole bunch of junk percussion in the background. And
lip gloss? Where's that title come from?
It was the late 90s, and everyone was wearing like really ridiculous sparkly lip gloss, and at uni there was just a look going around, and I don't know, it was funny. I used to write songs like that and with titles like that, and breaststroke and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, it's coming up.
I don't know what was going on. I was young.
Well, this is Lip Gloss. It's coming up right after this.
Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.